Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's a co-host. They're alive. They are not ghosts. It's Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams. It's a nightmare, not a dream. Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited for our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
Their host of the podcast, Murder We Spoke, it's Ben Tahaya.
Yay.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm not infringing by doing that, right?
No.
Okay.
Some people, two people have said it along with us. Very few, though.
No,
I wouldn't dare.
You're more than welcome to. Yeah, they're banished. We never talk to those people again.
That's your thing. How dare they?
It's the world's thing. I say right, it's fine. It belongs to the world.
We didn't invent that word.
Ben, you're here for the kickoff of our third annual Five Cold Screams.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's our amazing month plus one of horror movies. I can't say horror and I can't say mirror. Are you a horror movie fan?
I am a tremendous wimp and scaredy cat.
Okay, so interesting.
Perfect.
I can watch like a slasher, like a Freddy, like a Jason, a Michael Myers. That's fine, like the old stuff, but The Conjuring, I feel like I tried doing scary movies again recently and The Conjuring broke me and I was like
too scary. Taylor strapped to a chair, you said I'm out.
That's enough. As someone pushing 40, I should not be having nightmares and unable to sleep. And like,
you had a nightmare.
If my feet were dangling off the side of the bed and I swear to God I felt something touching it, and I was like, no, this is, I can't do this anymore. So I'm essentially retired from horror movies because I'm like, I'm just 6 years old again and I can't handle it.
And it's, and you don't like that feeling.
I surprisingly no.
So I used to have an album that was like, you know, one of those picture book albums that tells a story, you know, those, there'd be a chime when you turn a page. I had one, it was like a Batman story and I would get so scared every time the Joker showed up.
Oh,
because because you heard like the laughter and like whoever, I have no idea who the voice performer was, but he was terrifying. I remember distinctly sitting on the couch and like having to lift my feet up from off the couch because it was too scary. Wow. So I sympathize with that feeling.
Thank you.
I was a child when that happened, though.
to be fair.
But what about Halloween? Are you like a fan of, you know, carving a pumpkin?
Yeah, I love Halloween. Just as long as I don't have to sit in a dark movie theater watching ghosts clap their hands behind, you know, Lily's head, I'm fine.
Sure.
Yeah. You take that aspect of Halloween out of it, I'm fine.
But you'll Black go cats, like a Home Jack Goods Black. And like pick up some decor or something.
Oh, I was spiderwebs all over pumpkin. The house. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't like those spiderweb things. They just seem like clutter.
It does seem like they're very cluttery. But I like to do a thing where I've got a bunch of little plastic spiders and you put the little plastic
That's
spiders
fun.
Descending from the ceiling. Yeah, it's a delight.
It's a diorama, really.
Yeah. That's what Halloween's about. We turn our living room into a little Halloween wonderland for just us for 30 days.
Yeah. Well, less than like I've already started listening to my Halloween Spotify playlist.
How many songs are on this playlist?
It's, I don't know how many songs, but it's about 7 hours long.
What?
Holy moly.
That's crazy.
I'm like constantly, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, like, what are this? Is it just like creaky 1 hour
remix?
There's a sprinkling. There's like five tracks of just sound effects. There is no Monster Mash, two on the nose.
Wow.
You have seven hours
of non-Monster Mash.
I got like a cramp song, you know, like Goo Goo Muck, a few like Susie and the Banshees, Halloween.
All right. So it's sort of music inspired by Halloween.
Yeah. But there's nothing like that doesn't, like, I can't have anything that doesn't have, it has to have the mood of Halloween to it. It can't just be like lyrically.
Thrillers on there.
I don't think it. No, I deleted Michael Jackson from Spotify after I saw Behind Neverland or whatever that documentary was like. But maybe I'll go back because I think, I don't know. It's all conflicted now. But yeah, I have a Halloween.
It's in Rockwell's name. It doesn't have Michael Jackson's name on it technically, right?
Oh, so, the Somebody's Watching Me song?
Yeah.
Right.
It's Rockwell. And then just, I don't think they credit it because it was just like the producer's dad's called in a favor to get Rockwell's career up and running. So I don't think his family gets any royalties. Does that help?
Sure. No.
That's very spooky. It fits in the mood.
It's a little too real, though. To think.
Fair.
And so that one hit wonder Rockwell is a little too real. Yeah. It's very
well. The MJ connection is a little too like spooky in the wrong way. I feel like, like I wouldn't have a playlist where all of a sudden we're playing like a podcast that has like 911 calls on it. You know, that's too intense.
That is a lot.
That's not going to get the party started.
No. Does such a podcast exist, by the way?
Yes, Sword and Scale. It's awful. Whoa. I was listening to one and I was like, why am I listening to this? This is so upsetting.
You don't want to listen to the worst moments in people's lives for an hour a week? No?
Okay. Trust me, I've had lunch with John.
Got his ass.
Wow. No, I once did like a celebrity death tour here in LA and they played some. They played a couple of phone calls, but the first few they played were all like hotel workers. Like it was like the hotel worker for Whitney Houston. It was like the assistant for Michael Jackson. But then they played the end of the tour was Joaquin Phoenix calling 911 when his brother River was dying. And that I was like, that one was actually gross because it was actually his brother as opposed to like,
yeah,
I'm like a desk clerk who's just like, we have an accident here, you know?
God,
so that was, they waited for the end. I was like, I want to get off this.
This feels like bad taste. This death tour is in shockingly bad taste.
Exactly. Who knew?
Wow.
Speaking of shockingly bad taste.
Nice.
Today.
Perfect segue.
We are talking about the film Resident Evil Apocalypse. John, what's the deal with Resident Evil Apocalypse?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Resident Evil Apocalypse. It was directed by Alexander Witt, written by Paul W.S. Anderson, and it's loosely based on the video game series of the same name. It's the second installment of the Resident Evil film series. It's set directly after the first film, and a deadly virus from a secret Umbrella Corporation laboratory underneath Raccoon City is exposed to the world. Umbrella seals off the city to contain the virus, creating a ghost town where everyone trapped inside turns into a mutant zombie. Alice, a survivor from Umbrella's secret lab, meets former Umbrella security officer Jill Valentine and mercenary Carlos Oliviero, and together they search for a scientist who might be able to help. Mila Jovovich reprises her role as Alice and is joined by Sienna Guillory, Oded Fehr, Thomas Kreitzman, Razak Adoti, Jared Harris, and Mike Epps. It opened on September 10th, 2004, made $129.3 million off a budget of $45 million. Roger Ebert gave the film half a star, calling it an utterly meaningless waste of time that lacked any wit or imagination and also failed to provide entertaining violence or special effects. And he went on to name the film the eighth worst film of 2004.
Wow.
But M.E. Russell of The Oregonian said, "The bad news, the movie is monumentally stupid. The good news, it's a fun kind of stupid." And that is the deal with Resident Evil Apocalypse.
So, Ben, we asked you to bring in a horror movie. Why Resident Evil Apocalypse?
It's a delightful action. It's an action-y horror movie. Resident Evil 3 is, to this day, still my favorite video game.
Really?
Yeah. Again, one of the caveats of my horrorness is like, I can play some, as long as I'm in control, but I still can't do a first person game, by the way, like a first person horror game.
You gotta play Resident Evil 7. It is so good, but it's first person.
No,
it's
that's terrifying. My husband knows I love Resident Evil so much, bought me a PlayStation 4 specifically. So he's like, "You love these games. You haven't played this one. And here you go." I got 20 minutes in and I was like, "Thank you so much for buying me this, but I'm never playing it again.
It's horrifying."
And then he played it for another 20 minutes. He doesn't know games. And I was like, "Yeah, that's it sucks." But they did the remakes of Resident Evil 2 and 3. So I was able to play something, but one day I'll get there. But
have you played 4? That's my favorite video game of all time.
Yes, 4 is amazing. Absolutely. 4
is super fun.
What are these games like? I've never played them.
They're just
what does that mean? Just third person.
Like you see your character in camera, like as opposed to Doom, you know, where you just like see the gun you're holding.
Oh, you see what you're
like,
seeing, right?
Gotcha. Yes.
Yeah, there's something about having to use the joystick to like turn your own head. It just feels off to me, and it makes it extra spooky. I don't know what it is. I can't even put it into words. But
have you done any like virtual reality stuff?
Yeah, we actually have an Oculus Rift, so we've done VR stuff. No horror.
No scary obviously. Things.
No scare. We played like one thing where you're trying to like stop like a terrorist attack or something. And I was
God,
okay, that's enough. Yeah. It's VR. It's like, I just use it to exercise. There's a fun little exercise app
sure.
where you swat balloons around. That's good enough. I'm good.
I would say like the Resident Evil games though are like really, there's like quirky. They're like quirk. They're like cool. There's like action. You're always killing zombies essentially. Mm-hmm. There's some like puzzle solving. Like you have to find keys to like open things.
Yes.
And then you're also like collecting herbs and like it's also like a lot of inventory management, which is also like a fun element of it too. Like, well, I want to take this, like,
love,
I need to take these bullets,
herbs,
but I have to get rid of like first aid kit. So you kind of have to make those decisions, which is kind of part of the fun.
And then in the first one, there you could pick either the boy or the girl. You could be Chris or Jill. And
Chris Redfield, thank you.
Chris, yes, obviously, yeah. Pardon me. If you chose Jill Valentine, you got 2 extra slots in your inventory. She could carry more than Chris could. So
there was
a benefit to being
a girl.
Yeah,
women are gatherers. Right. Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the reasons I like locked into it, because it's one of the first games where you could like choose to be the boy or the girl, and I was always Jill Valentine. She was my girl.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then she got her own game on part 3, so she didn't have to share it with some man. It was just her.
Right.
Just her running around from Nemesis. And I was like, and then I got that, like that was my favorite game. And then they announced, they're making a movie starring Mila Jovovich. And I was like, at the time, obsessed with her because of The Fifth Element. She was
sure.
Like 13-year-old me, that was the first performance I saw where I was like, oh my God, the acting is superb in this. That was the first time I remember thinking like, oh, this is acting? Okay, now I
can. Yeah, can be this.
It was exactly. Yeah. I was like, my favorite actress in a movie adaptation of my favorite game, I'm in. And I was in for all 6 movies. And this one is my favorite of the 6 though.
Sure. Okay. How many times have you seen it? What do you think?
Oh, I we're probably like between 30 and 40. I've seen it quite a bit.
Is it like a seasonal watch for you?
I typically go through the whole series like twice a year.
That's fun.
All right.
Which is if this is your favorite, what do you think is the worst one?
The worst one, unfortunately, is the last one, because in the fifth one, they set up this great, like the fifth one was, the last one was going to be this giant battle between the forces of evil and all the good characters we've met, we're going to bring everybody back. But then Mila Jovovich got pregnant and there was scheduling conflicts. And like, I mean, just ruining
everything.
Flush it out and make the movie, then have another one. I don't know what your problem is. But so then they can only get back a couple people, scheduling, budget, blah, blah, blah.
I remember like the third one isn't the third. I like the third one. That's like the post-apocalyptic one. But then there's a follow-up after that where things are less post-apocalyptic. Like things where there's like there's then I think that's the underground city one. Or is that the fifth one is the underground city?
They go have giant underground cities in all of them.
I see.
This is like the only one where they're not going deep underground for giant cities. But one of the funnest things about this movie is they kind of ran out of places to go, where the Umbrella Corporation wants to create these bioweapons to sell and make all this money. And by the final movie, they literally like check you and be like, okay, the Umbrella Corporation has killed there's literally only 12,000 people left on Earth by the end. Yet there's still Umbrella Corporation. They're underground in a giant corporate office hatching more schemes. I'm like, guys, you won. You did it. There's no, there's 12,000 people left. I think, what are you hatching? What money is there left to be made?
I bet if Disney was around with only 12,000 people, they'd still be pushing like annual passes.
They would be like, fine, guys, we've obviously a number of people that can get annual passes. Still be,
yeah. There's so many casts. Well, it sounds like you're a huge, is this your favorite horror movie? I'm guessing.
If you're twisting my arm and I'm going to say,
I'm twisting you. You're twisted. John, what's your favorite Resident Evil game? Go ahead, lay it on us.
Well, to the surprise of, I'm sure, no one, I have not played any of the video games or seen any of the movies before. So two nights ago, I tried to start to watch the first one because I was like, I had the evening free.
Set the table.
Like, yeah.
I wish I would have told you, because every one of these movies starts with a previously on. So there's really no need to watch.
Well,
there's
it was late and I was tired. So I only got to like 20 minutes or so. And then before I stopped and I was like, I'll read the Wikipedia. And so then last night I watched this one. And I think in some ways it was probably to my benefit to not have seen the first one, because Mark, you like to sort of call me out for being annoyed about logic in movies. And so a lot of times in this, something would happen where I would be like, what? And it would sort of not make sense to me. And I'd be like, well, I guess if it's my fault, I didn't see the first one. It probably wasn't. As it went on, I was like, there can't be this much mythology. But I did sort of just surrender to just being like, okay, whatever. To me, it felt like everything seemed like from another movie. Like, it felt like it was like kind of The Matrix, kind of Predator, a little bit of Venom, a Michael Jackson video. Like, it just felt like there didn't seem to be much ideas that were new or that I hadn't seen in other movies, but it was all good. Like, it was
a pastiche, as it were,
I suppose, but it didn't feel like I had a really hard time keeping track of the characters or who was what. But then I also was like, well, this is based on a video game, so maybe that has a lot to do with it. I don't know if I had been familiar with the video games, if certain things would have been easier.
No, because Alice isn't a character in the games.
Oh, yeah. She's invented just for the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
They didn't go back and put her in subsequent games.
No.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
I bet
it?
Mila had, that's part of her contract. Like, they would probably have to pay her money.
She's a theater exclusive. Yeah.
But overall, it was like enjoyable. There's definitely fun moments to it, even though it was sort of, again, in some ways it reminded me of like when you go to a different part of the country and eat at a fast food restaurant and you're like, what a burger. Like, yeah, it's just McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, it's really not that different, even though it says it's different. But how about you, Mark? What do you think about
I don't think I've seen it since it was like, I caught it on like TV, like maybe 15 years ago. And I remember thinking it was terrible at the time, but then I watched it last night. And obviously I should say, I am the game franchise is maybe my favorite video game franchise. Like, I'm literally downloading the eighth one right now as we speak.
Oh,
I just finished Ratchet and Clank. I finished Ratchet and Clank. And then my goal was, I'm going to play Resident Evil. I've been waiting.
Natural progression.
Right. Natural progression. So, and this it's also a perfect spooky like, season. You
heard it. Right.
You know? So then watching it last night, I started it later than I normally do watch these. I started at 8:30, which is like the witching
grandpa
hour for me. We should like start at 7. So I'm done. And then I could like watch a Housewives or something.
something sure, silly. Sure. But I've had a good time with it. I think the action scenes, like, I think I was like, I was in film school, like, when I first saw that. So I think I was really like uptight and like, this sure. is like such shoddily shot, but I think it's pretty fun. Like, I think all the action sequences are so over the top ridiculous.
Yes.
That mm-hmm. you just have to like embrace them for what they are. And I think Mila Jovovich is like so fun in these movies. I think she knows she's on board. I think she knows like these are ridiculous and like, I don't know. I just had a good time with it. I thought it was fun. Is it scary? Not at all. But I don't think it's really trying to be scary. It also has that whole like 2000 era. It reminds me of like the Underworld movies. And like, it's very much like a post Matrix
right.
music video, like trying really hard right. to be edgy and like push like electronica, like metal in down your throat. Like the whole, like, which now feels like dated, but at the time felt really like, this is what's cool now, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it was so hip. There's actually a couple guys that are in Evanescence, which I feel is right. like so emblematic of this, are zombies yes. in this movie. So it's like,
there were zombies in that band. I hate to break it down. You hear that?
But yeah, I was like, that is very emblematic of the era because it does feel, it is so dated in yes. that way. Yeah, absolutely.
But now it's like nostalgic. It's like wholesome. Like, even watching, it's funny to watch Resident Evil Apocalypse and think, oh, they don't make them like this anymore, which in some ways great, but in some ways it is kind of fun to like jump back in a little, right. have a little taste, a palate mm-hmm. cleanser, as it were.
Exactly.
Well, Ben, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest horror movies ever this month. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to be coming up with a category and it will be added
to the wheel
of terror. Maybe it's a wheel of terror for the next 5 weeks, maybe. So we got up, and if you don't understand that, it'll make sense by the time we get to it. And even if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. So this is our current top five horror movies. All right. So this is what you're up against. With a 70.84% is Hellbound Hellraiser 2, 71.84% Interview with the Vampire, 85.19% The Lost Boys, and then 89.81% The Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I should have said the movie first and then the percentage. But we'll fix that next time. And then first place, the gayest horror movie with a 92.99% is The Bride of Frankenstein.
So, Ben, if you had to guess now, how well do you think Resident Evil Apocalypse is going to do?
I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, get out
really?
Of the way. Oh, I think this is right in the top five.
What was that number again?
That has a 70.84%.
I think we're going to get better than 70.
Interesting.
I think we're going to
do it. All right. Well, let's see. So this first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, Ben, how would you rate Resident Evil Apocalypse on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Okay. I knew I was going to take a beating up top, so let's just get these ones out of the way.
Sure, sure.
These problematic categories.
These ones that really don't have much to do with the whole theme of the podcast.
They're pretty unfair.
Let's get them out of the way right up top. I like that you put them there. Okay. I feel like these movies, even though they star like a model turned actor,
yes,
they're like very sexless in a way. I mean, aside from the topless zombie sex workers, aside from that, very sexless movies. And I just like, okay, sure, there's probably a couple gay people. There's a lot of crowds scenes.
There's a lot of mobs.
Course. Yeah.
There's a lot of mobs. The gays love a mob. They'll go, they'll turn up for a mob. I'll give this a 10 based.
A 10.
There's someone in that mob.
Well, what about Major Kane? The like German guy.
Well, he's just German. That's easy to confuse, though, I feel like.
He was the only one I thought could like maybe just because of his like fastidiousness.
Mm-hmm.
But that is all I have to go on.
That is,
yeah, but that's also a big German thing too, though.
Yeah, I actually in the...
which is why they like shit so much, because it's, you know, it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It all makes sense. Mm-hmm. In the, just briefly, like this doesn't affect the score at all, but there is Odette Fehr, who played Carlos, said that when they had to do like intense action scenes, they would always watch Dog Day Afternoon because they brought intense gay energy to the scene. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but that's, he said that was their inspiration for the intense scene. So take that for what it's worth.
I'll tell you. Well, what about those zombies with the long tongues?
Oh, the lickers. Those are called
the lickers.
I mean, based on the name alone.
Was that something that was a step? Like there were
those are in the
a
games.
Bunch of different zombies. Was there different kind? Like, do we know why some are lickers and some are just people and some are dogs and.
I think the liquors were like made in a lab because the whole thing Umbrella is trying to do is like biological weapon, you know,
warfare, right?
Biochemical weapons. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like that's why they made the nemesis thing. But the dogs, I believe, occurred naturally from the viral outbreak.
What they had made is they made a skin cream, just to give you a quick backstory because I know you guys want to know. They created a skin cream with the T virus called Regenerate, and it rejuvenated the dead cells in your skin, but oops, they went too far and now it rejuvenates dead bodies. You know, you go one step too far, just one toe over the line, and it's the zombie apocalypse.
Be careful out there,
Neutrogena. When you're making your skin cream, yeah. Kiehl's, we've got an eye on you. Yeah, I would say there's none of the main characters are gay, but I'm sure a lot of the zombies must be. And also I found in my IMDb trivia, all of the zombies were dancers. They hired professional dancers. So that the movement, so you know that you're up in the gay quotient there. So I'll give it I'll give it a 17 for
17. John feeling generous.
Nice. Okay.
I'll give it a 13 because that's spooky. Giving it an average of 13.33, which is 7 points higher than the house bunny. Okay. Pretty good. I don't have the horror movies available to compare with the flick of a switch, unfortunately. All right. Our next category: gay icons.
Okay.
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah. I was going to say she's not a Cher. We'll all admit that. She's not a Cher. Right. She's not a Barbara. But the one time I've met Mila Jovovich one time. And it was at the GLAAD Media Awards. So I was like,
okay.
Oh,
icon. Nice. She's.
Was she
she's
receiving, presenting, just there?
She was just there. Yeah. It was her and Allie Larder who plays Claire Redfield in future movies. I know you guys are going to obviously finish out this series.
I would like to revisit this series because I did enjoy watching this, and I think I might.
They're fun as hell. But yeah, so I think she's got enough credit, and she's an action movie star, a female action movie star, which is
very rare.
All the way to the top. And then you have Jill Valentine, the character, again, having such a rich history of being like a female
in these action
video games. I'll take that. I'm going to go, I think based on those two alone, I'm going to give this one an 80. I think Mila Jovovich, she's one of my gay icons. So
what would you say is like her most iconic gay thing? Because like looking at her,
Fifth Element.
She's someone who But I looked, it was like Fifth Element and these movies. And so I was just wondering if there was something.
What more does the woman have to do, John? She was in 6 Resident Evil movies, for Christ's sake.
Did you see that white thing she was wearing in the Fifth Element?
Fair.
Liza was only in 2 Arthurs. That's her franchise. So.
Yeah.
She helmed like a giant action movie franchise, made over $500 million worldwide.
Sure.
And a female lead? Like, come on, how many times does that happen?
Yeah, what more do you want from her? And she's in Zoolander 2.
Okay. All right.
She's great in Zoolander.
I will give this 65.
65. No love for Jill Valentine, John?
She's got some of the points.
I'll give it a 70. Giving it a 71.67, which is higher than the Chipmunk Adventure, which only is 32.
Damn right it is. Second. All right. Klaus.
Yeah, very good. All right, our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? Now, we have been in a bit of a drought, I feel like, with the last few films. Right. So this one, I was like, oh, we got some real hunks finally. This was nice.
I feel like everyone was wearing like bulletproof vests. Like there was the women were all scantily clad and the men were how you would imagine they would be outfitted in this scenario. So in that way, I was like, I could tell these guys have great bodies, but I can't see it.
I feel like you could sell with like, that's a Resident Evil thing. I feel like the cop, the uniform and all that stuff. Like that's Chris Redfield is his whole thing.
They're all pretty boxy. I don't think they were like lingering on this.
But they have like good faces too. I would say Oliveira is super hot. And also I really like
there's no uggos in this movie, except for Nemesis. But even he's sort of cute. But for me, I just wish there was a little bit more.
There's a charm to him.
There was more just the physical, just a little bit more from the men.
I hear what you're saying. But there are some hot guys. You have to admit that.
I'm not arguing that at all.
That cowboy sniper, I tried to look up who he was. Mm-hmm. I thought he was, I couldn't find him on his name on the IMDb. And there was also like that, there's a hunky blonde lab tech at the end. Oh, and Sergeant Wells, who gets bit early on. And that's because
he's a snack. I like Sergeant Wells. But, and I also like the look, like the vest with the like little short, tight,
yes,
like Under Armour sleeves. I think, yes, that's a good look. It's like, again, it's not, they're not really trying to over sexualize these fellas.
Right.
But that look, I do enjoy that look.
Yes. These are definitely, we are here to look at the ladies in their inappropriate zombie fighting outfits.
Right.
Which is part of the fun of the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but they tried to explain away those outfits. Believe you me, they've tried be like, there's a reason she's running around in a halter top and a miniskirt in the zombie apocalypse.
She just got out of the shower.
Yeah. But with boots. At least they didn't have her put heels on. At least they drew the line at heels.
At least
she's in boots. So what do you want to give this for the male gaze?
For the male gaze, I'll give this, because it is like hunk, it's back-to-back hunks, even though they're not overly sexualized, I'm going to go,
they're not
25.
In thongs.
They're not running around in, they don't have their own mini skirts. So I'm going 25.
I'll give it a little more than that because the faces are good. But there, again, there's nothing that I feel like, oh, I want to like freeze frame on any one of these images. But I will give it I'll give it a 35.
35. I'll give it a 32. Giving an average of 30.67, which is indeed the highest we've had in our last four movies.
Whoa.
The next highest is House Bunny, which has a 25.33. All right, I think you're going to make up some points here. Yeah. Entrances with pizzazz.
Ooh, baby.
Ooh,
here we go.
Baby.
Now the points come raining down. This is nothing but, like, no one enters without pizzazz.
Right.
Alice enters Jill's life by coming through a second story church window on a motorcycle.
Yes. Yeah. And then immediately blows zombies away the instant she lands.
Yeah. She lands and, like, yeah, there's three lickers who were like the big bad guy at the end of the first movie. She just had to kill one of them at the end of the first movie. Now she's killed three of them, not breaking a sweat.
The first act, right. Yeah.
It's amazing. And then, yeah, I feel like I love Nemesis' entrance, just walking up with the fog, the lighting behind him.
Yeah.
With his giant rail gun. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I was like, Oliver jumps out of a helicopter, shooting zombies as he's falling.
Doesn't miss a one. Yeah. Headshot, headshot, headshot.
Never. Jill Valentine has a fun one. We see her like suiting up.
Oh my God.
That one's pretty fun.
She just walks into the police station, starts killing zombies. It's like, guys, we got to get out of here.
That was one of the things I was thinking. That's the scene that made me think, like, oh, like watching it kind of through the eyes of people who aren't overly obsessed with Resident Evil. Uh-huh. Where it's like, oh, if you don't know who Jill Valentine is from the video games, this scene is going to make no sense. She walks in, like, we kind of get these shots of her from behind. You get the newspapers of disgraced cop, what she, you know, she's been put suspended, blah, blah, blah. And then all we see, we don't even see her face. We just see her walking in that iconic outfit. And she starts shooting people. Like, the cops seemingly don't know what's going on. They've got these people in handcuffs. They're trying to book them and process them. And she comes in and just starts shooting people in the head. And her commanding officer is like, Valentine, what are you doing? It's like, she just shot like five people in the head. And he's just like, oh, you.
It's like, I would say, even if you do know her from the video games, it would still be confusing.
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that.
Yeah. But I think Alice has a great one, like getting woken up and in the lab and, you know, wearing, they put her in another like bandagey type outfit, similar to Fifth Element. I
mean, if it worked once, it's going to work.
That's
again.
True. That's, we expect it now.
Right. Exactly.
Also, the zombies in the graveyard.
Yeah. That was,
I don't know how they moment. Got, I don't know how they got the virus. Those people.
It's a little,
but it's fine.
Yeah, we can't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
I mean, if you're in a zombie
just
movie,
one scene. Yeah.
I guess it'd be more upsetting if zombies didn't pop out of graves in a zombie movie.
That's the thing, if they walked out of the graveyard. Right, if they just regrouped and then walked out of the graveyard, I feel like we'd all be pretty disappointed.
Like, what the fuck?
There'd be some blue balls going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to give this for entrances with pizzazz?
I mean, to no one's surprise, this is 100.
100.
Yeah, I'll give it a 97.
97. I think that motorcycle one is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It even ups the Miss Piggy and Great Muppet Caper.
She doesn't kill anyone when she lands.
I never thought I'd say Miss Piggy could learn a thing or two from Milla Jovovich, but in this one instance,
here we are,
riding a motorcycle through a stained glass window is the one moment.
This has all been worth it now. This is
yeah. So I'll give it 100. I'm giving it 100. It's giving an average of 99.
Nice.
9 points higher than The Emperor's New Groove. All right. Very good.
Okay.
All right. Our next category, the Mike Pence Anxiety Scale. How much anxiety would this movie give Mike Pence?
I mean, they put women in charge. He can't be fond of that.
Right.
And there's a lot of, you know, short skirts. There's some midriffs.
Inappropriate clothing, definitely. There were those naked women zombies. Don't care for those.
He's not going to like that. There's a lot of swearing. Mike Epps swears quite a bit. That's a no-no.
A lot of those creatures were very tongue forward. The lickers, he wouldn't like that.
That would make
him very uncomfortable. Well, don't you also think just a viral outbreak would just be triggering for him?
At this point,
yes.
And almost like a competent organization behind it would be maybe triggering for him.
That's how. Oh. Yes.
I should say, though, Christian Spotlight on the Movies rated it very offensive. Okay,
the number in my head just went up a little bit based on that alone. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Sure.
Yeah, based on that, he's not going to like the violence, the horror. I think there's a lot he's not going to like. So I'm going to go with a 67 on this one.
67. Yeah, Christians have a real problem with zombies, which is ironic considering Jesus's arc.
Thank you.
The ultimate Walking Dead, walking hypocrites. On water. Dead.
Hypocrites. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this, Christians? You're hypocrites. But you never called that before.
Yeah, I think he's not going to like this at all. I'm going to give it a 77.
77. For some reason, I think this would be, I don't know, is like violence or sex more upsetting to Mike Pence? I feel like sex might be more upsetting.
I think that's fair.
I think so too.
House Bunny an 80. So I'll give this a 75. Giving it a 73, which is 14 points lower than the House Bunny. So he can handle this.
Okay.
Probably not. All right. You'll probably make up some points in this next category too. Hell on Heels. How about for feisty women?
I mean, top to bottom, stem to stern.
I think so. Yeah. They do pretty well.
There's not a shrinking violet in the bunch.
There's even poor woman in the stairwell who breaks a heel.
Right?
Yeah. And she keeps on running. She keeps on running.
Doesn't stop her.
She then jumps off a building.
She doesn't want to turn. She's in control.
They're like,
of herself.
We can fix it. She's like, no, you can't.
No, you can't. Forget it.
She's seen what happens when you get bitten, guys. She knows there's no going back.
Meet me on the ground floor. There's also that priest sister that we never quite get a good look at, but I thought she was pretty fun. Who's like strapped to a chair.
Yeah,
that was his sister. You know how priests live with their sisters and their
right. Well, I was looking because in the
rectory.
On IMDb, her character is Mrs. Priest. And I was like, that's not how that works.
Uh-oh.
Aren't there some non-Catholic priests who can marry?
There are some priests who can do that, yeah. But I don't know if she becomes... Well, I guess if the character was just named Priest, then why not?
Oh, that's...
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of character development.
You're saying the last name was Priest and her brother became a priest?
I thought it was... I didn't get the sense that she was his sister. I thought it was his wife or something. I don't know.
I thought they said sister. Doesn't matter.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of female zombies, too.
There's quite a few. There's the one that almost got Mike Epps. I remember when she got the bullet in the head and she fell, and she was
the sex
one of
workers?
The prettiest zombies. Yeah. The sex workers, of course.
They are almost hell. A zombie is almost hell personified.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you have even the little girl, I feel like, is she's not taking any guff. She's staying alive.
Was she meant to remind us of the little red AI girl from the first movie?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's meant to be her dad is the one who actually created the Red Queen.
But was Jared Harris in the first one?
No.
They just make up whatever they need.
They just like, we have a Red Queen, let's put a little girl in it. And there's, in the second video game, you have to kind of drag a little girl along with you to try and save her. So she's kind of based on...
I just recently played the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Yes,
which is a lot of fun.
Oh my god, that one honestly was a little too scary for me. I had to wait until I could buy
scary
infinite ammo, and then I was like, now I can play.
Sure. When I played Resident Evil 7, I played it in VR, So you have to, like, you are walking through, and it's like a really creepy fucking house you're walking through. And like, they also don't load it up with zombies at the beginning. So when you do see like someone coming at you, it's really scary because there's been, it's been quiet for so long.
Gotcha.
That was very good.
Yes. That was one of the things about that is like you walk, you're going for so long.
Yeah.
Just trying to find your wife. And then it's like, and then when you do find her, it's like, she's kind of the first. It's just terrifying. It's just too much.
She's not doing great.
She is. She's in a bad way. She is in a bad way.
Oh, but I was going to say, my room, it was so scary to play. I would play with my roommate at the time. We would both like sit on like the couch together and take turns playing. Cause it was like, all right, I'm done. You have to take over. Like, cause this is too intense. But then the more you play, you get more powerful, you know, you get more weapons. So they kind of get less scary as they go, I would say.
Gotcha. Weapons make you feel more powerful. We also haven't talked about Sandrine Holt, the reporter who wants her Emmy.
Oh, yeah. She's trying to get herself some awards. She's trying to document it.
Mm-hmm. Is she tough? I feel like she's always screaming and like running away from things.
She's like there to do her job. She's not backing down from doing her job.
Mm-hmm. It's like, this is my way out of the weather department.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
They were threatened by her.
Yeah. This is a little embarrassing. When you guys sent, you know, invited me on the podcast, I was already like 20 pages deep into the novelization of this movie. So you, unprompted by this podcast, I was reading the novelization. It's all right. It's a cry for help. And I, you know, I hope it's hurt. I hope someone hears it, but they help. There's a whole thing about her where she used to be at the news desk, but then she got a video that turned out to be fake, but she didn't verify it.
Oh, you idiot.
And so she's trying to work her way out of. And that's why at the end, when they're like, oh, this video has been discredited because it was from Terry Morales, who's already turned in fake video footage.
The Project Veritas of Raccoon City.
Basically. So there you go. Now you know the story of Terry Morales from Raccoon City.
I love literature. So what do you want to give this? What do you want to give Resident Evil Apocalypse and Hell on Heels?
I feel like I should have saved that to the end because now I feel like the disdain that I'm getting verified, you know, as justified as it is. But anyway, Hell on Heels, this is I'm going to say, it's not like a full 100, but it's like a 97. It's almost, it's so close to being perfect. 97.
97.
Yeah, I will go 95.
95. Yeah, I'll go, I don't know, 98. Why not? Because I think most lesser movies would do like just Alice and not also Jill Valentine, you know? Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that there's two like fucking awesome women in this movie.
That's right. They do such a good job. In the fifth one, there's like, you know, the big third act fight scene is
Spoiler.
I mean, I guess I should have put a warning on it, but it's two guys and then three women. Like they always have powerful women. Like Alice always kind of has like a little buddy in these movies, and it's always another woman. She's never teamed up with, it's never like, you know, her and a man. It's like her and Michelle Rodriguez, her and Ali Larder. They do, yeah. It's
great. She was memed for a little bit. Resident Evil 8 introduces Lady Dimitrescu, who is, I believe she's 9 feet tall and wants to kill you.
Oh,
but she's dressed like a Victorian. She's like, she almost looks like a fun, My Fair Lady. Like that's her style of clothes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Very Eliza. If a 9 foot tall Eliza Doolittle could turn into like a flock of ravens and kill you.
So she's like Eureka O'Hara.
She's a lot like Eureka O'Hara. I'll give a 90, given an average of 96.67, which is higher than the House Bunny even. Wow.
Okay.
Which had a 96.33, which is pretty close. All right. Our next category, Chosen Families. What would you rate Resident Evil Apocalypse Chosen Family? I did have the thought while watching this in the terms of this category, like, or is a band of survivors a chosen family? Like they only have one night together. So it's hard to get that.
The movie
history
ends with them feeling like we're this group together.
That's
trying
true.
To escape. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's like a theme of any of them like looking for chosen families. Like
no.
It's not that. So
well, Alice kind of is because she's like a clone, isn't right? She's like
trying to
a
find her place in the world.
Sure.
Yeah, in the first movie, like yeah, she had amnesia, didn't remember who she was. So yeah, she's kind of continuing her journey for
yes.
for family. But yeah. Spoiler, yeah, we do. There's clones do get involved in later movies, guys. Don't
fun.
Mm-hmm. Before we get a whole before the multiverse. Right.
I mean Mila got there first. Never
Mila
forget.
Was first. So I think, yeah, I think maybe you've convinced me. There is some chosen family element here. There's a little bit. They do like, they got her back.
I think there is because, yeah, they like were meant to believe like it's like several weeks, if not months later when they come get her at the end of the movie at that facility. And they've all kind of just stuck together that whole time. Like, they could have gone their separate ways. That little girl definitely should be in a foster home or something. She shouldn't be running around with the rest of them, but they decided to stick together. And I think that's worth something.
So what do you want to give? What would you give this then for Chosen Family?
Chosen Family, I'll give this a 59.
59.
I think it's more about survival, but I'll give it a 40.
40. I'll give it a 30 just for this thing at the end. Give it an average of 43. All right. Our next guy, might make up some points here. Macabre. How macabre is the movie Resident Evil Apocalypse?
This is another layup. There's a scene where a woman gets eaten by a bunch of zombie children.
School children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which has got to be humiliating, you know?
So embarrassing.
It's like being fired by a boss younger than you.
Right.
Yeah. Your head is hanging very low that day. Very low. Yeah. It's a zombie movie. I mean, what more do you need to say? This is.
They nuke a whole, they nuke Raccoon City. Our beloved Raccoon City is nuked.
Can you believe it?
What was the thing where later some people had like blood coming out of their nose and eyes? What was that?
She had like psychic powers now.
Yeah,
that was confusing to me a little bit. But maybe if I played the video game, it would have made more sense.
No, I don't think anyone has psychic powers in the game.
No, this is unique to the movies where the testing that they did, that Umbrella did on her, gave her basically, you know, superpowers.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Bioweapons. You never
That'll know. Do
what
it.
Are you gonna do?
Yeah. Really rolling the dice.
Also, I thought like fixing your own broken finger is like, I mean, it's practical, but it also feels macabre.
Very macabre. I mean, the whole stuff in the cemetery, especially the ending where it's just a shot of a bunch of maggots crawling over that one skull.
Yeah, for no reason.
For no reason. There's great.
But I mean, like, why
rest in peace on the tombstone? Yeah, like, I don't know. Did you not get it?
That's true. That's fair. That's on me. That's on me.
That's
super sweaty priest. Yeah, this is a really macabre movie.
Yeah, it's fairly. I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 100.
100. But it's not like a Hereditary where you leave it like, ooh, that was heavy.
Yeah, it's not like super, super creepy, but it is dark. I will go 88.
88. I'll go 90. In some ways, I wish it was like gorier because it's like weirdly not gory.
It feels very, how does this feel like aesthetically? How does it measure up with the video game? Like, does it feel
the games are much
stepped
gorier.
Into the video? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, this one, yeah, this, it's for an R-rated movie, yes, it's surprisingly light on the gore. I feel like they almost went for more of a, with the nemesis and stuff, like it's almost more like body horror in a way.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of tight shots on Nemesis's face.
No lips. Right. He's all gums. Nemesis.
All gums. Mm-hmm.
Do any of the other Resident Evil movies feel like they do a better job of matching up with the video games?
No.
Okay. No, the final one gets a little gorier, but yeah, but they don't.
They kind of just create their own timeline.
Their own universe, gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I think was probably smart. The second game, though, is set primarily in a police station, which is like, we're barely in a police station in this movie.
Right, a little bit, yeah.
But I think that's the one call out. Resident Evil Apocalypse is 93.33 on the macabre scale. Pretty good. Beating Emperor's New Groove by 70 points.
I should hope so.
Yeah. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a ton.
A lot of lightning. It's very stylish whenever they're
the stained glass windows in the church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the direct
cool
lot of shadows,
green light in the tank she's in. Mm-hmm.
The scene I was like is when the Thomas Kirschner, whatever his name is, the guy who plays Kane, the German guy.
Yeah. More like Major Payne, am I right?
Major Abel Kane is his full name, as I learned from the novelization.
Wow, Abel. So, it doesn't look like an Abel.
Really, it adds some layers, I think. But when he's up on the gate, they have kind of these spotlights. They almost make him look angelic. There's like these beams of light behind him. Yeah. I thought that was real clear. But yeah, they do a lot of good lighting. The director, you might not recognize his name. He has not done a ton of work. But what he does recently is he's a second unit DP on like all the Fast and the Furious movies, on all the James Bond movies. Oh, okay. So he knows, he knows his way around an action movie. And I feel like you do see that here. I do think it's lit very well. They kind of get the creepy light and they filmed the whole thing at night in Toronto. So it was like, yeah, so you have to have like this bunch of artificial lighting. And it's, I think it looks better than it needs to be, certainly for a Resident Evil movie.
Right.
Yeah. It's
at the very least.
More about style than it is about character development, I would say.
The lighting?
Yes. Just like the whole movie. Like it's about mood and a style rather than like, what are these characters really going through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although there is they're rebooting. There's a new Resident Evil movie coming out in November.
Oh, so excited.
But I think it's a reboot. It's like, have you watched any, there's a Netflix anime, CG animated Resident Evil show. Mm. I haven't watched it yet, but did you check that out?
I did. There's four CGI movies that take place in the universe of the video game. And the Netflix series is just kind of the fourth one of those, but for some reason they broke it up into four parts. It is true dog shit. It is really, it's really bad.
Which is saying something.
I'm
reading the novelization of Resident Evil Apocalypse, and the one on Netflix is garbage. Do not watch it. So
don't watch it even.
I like, if you're a completist, you've already watched it, but it's not. It is
It's too late.
Oh boy. Yeah. But the first three CGI movies are actually, they're not terrible. Those are kind All of, right. those have some fun.
Okay. Well, what should we give Resident Evil Apocalypse in dramatic lighting?
I think they do. I think the director, with his background in lighting, like for the last 20 years on action movies, I think he did pretty good here. I'm going to give him a 93.
93.
Yeah, 93 sounds right to me. I'll do that as well.
90. Also give it 93. It is great. Like, it did make me appreciate, like, oh, this was the time when everything wasn't like shot on a green screen. Like, they're actually in real locations on real sets, and it just looks so much like, this probably has a lower budget than like Shang-Chi, but this looks better.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, you're, you know, just what I mean? It doesn't look like with
plastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, there's something to be said, like the practical effects, even if they're kind of look a little, sometimes they can look a little cheap, it's still,
there's sometimes a little thing, a little cheesy sometimes. a little cheese
gets in, but that's fine. I'll take it. I still like it.
Absolutely. All right. And our next, I mean, let me say, I did on Letterboxd, I did give this 3 out of 5 stars. I was like, it is, I think it knows exactly what it is. I think they're not trying, they're not going for anything more. I think they were probably happy with how it came out. Like, yeah, sure. This is about we expected.
Yeah.
It's a Resident Evil sequel.
They did it. They made a sequel to Resident Evil based on the video games Resident Evil. They did it. They sure did.
No one's expecting Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh no, Morgan Freeman's nowhere near this movie. No, this is Odette Fair is the, I feel like the highest caliber actor you're getting in this thing is.
Though I think I saw Jessica Tandy in that graveyard scene. I could be mistaken.
Okay, you know what? A keen eye. I missed that one.
Rude.
Our next category, vibrato.
So for this, in addition to literal vibrato, I mean, anytime they take a moment, they zhuzh it up, give it a little extra, more than it needs, but you like it.
I mean, do they ever kind of stop where they should? I feel like they're always going a little bit extra.
Yeah, I agree that. It's also like they do that fake, I don't like it, but I do kind of, it was a big trend, but now it's fun to see it now. It's like that fake slow-mo they do where everything's like blurry and like handheld.
That is, I don't think anything dates the movie more than that. I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's like, it is, yeah, it felt so cool at the time, but that's one of the things where I'm like, ugh, I don't like that thing.
There's a lot of on-screen text, and it's always like, always like,
I love, when they're driving to like pick up the little girl and the dad, and there's the whole windshield turns into like a computer screen. It's like, everybody will have that by the year 2020, and they knew that, and they saw that
they
coming.
Knew.
And
they
we all have that now, and it's totally a thing and doesn't obscure the driving at all.
I would also just say, like, the action sequences, like when she like kills those dogs, and like, or like, no, when she arrives in the church and like she fires the gun and like two slow motion bullets come out of the gun, and it's all that like post Matrix kind of stuff. But I thought it was fun.
They could have just gone around like shooting zombies, but they went the extra mile. Like Nemesis like shows up with a rail gun off a helicopter. It's like, does he need more than that? No, but he's also got a rocket launcher.
Look at him. Why does
they're just always just
like, the Hulk doesn't need a machine gun, he's the Hulk.
Right. There were moments where I wondered if this movie was meant to be shown in 3D at some times. There were a couple shots where it felt like
this
something
is before
like
that boom.
Right at you.
Well, maybe that was like just the director's intent. Maybe it was just so intense, John.
Maybe.
You were enveloped.
I lost myself in the world.
Yeah. It's one of those movies when you get out of the theater, like, whoa, we're in Burbank.
Oh, what is time? Okay.
It's like, you have to go to a therapist like those people after Avatar who realized they didn't live in wherever that was. Like, I'm not in Raccoon City and I'm depressed about it now.
Pandora, I believe it is called.
Pandora.
Show some respect. And it's been very difficult with these movies keep getting delayed. So what
they're
do you want to give
still the... coming and they're going to be great.
All that's what they say. There's five more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you want to give this for vibrato?
Vibrato, I feel like they purposely go just an extra step above what they need to do. Yeah. Pretty much at all times. So I'm going to go give this one an 89.
89. It's also something like our heroes, nobody ever misses. Like every shot is like perfect all the time.
Right. The thing they're like constantly being like, you got to shoot him in the head. And everybody else is like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, sure.
Tell us once, we're done. The rest, yeah. Say no more. Say no more.
Oh, the head. Got it. Okay. No problem.
I'm falling from a plane. I'm running and just looking behind me. Still going to hit him in the head because you told me to. I got it.
Like everyone is like emotionally pretty flat. Like no one's ever like that worried or concerned, but I just like, there's some, I don't know. I like the cool, like it's cheesy, but it's fun. We also rarely get to see women in that kind of role,
sure,
which is fun. John, what do you want to give it for vibrato?
I mean, I feel, yeah, there was a lot of extra, nothing felt very like super gay about it though, but I'll give it an 80.
Oh, now it has to be gay, the vibrato?
Yeah.
Since when?
I'll give it 85. Give an average of 84.67. All right, our next category, footwork. How would we rate the footwork in Resident Evil Apocalypse?
I mean, there's a ton of it. They're always running or they're in a fight battle scene.
Yeah. I mean, they're kung fu kicking zombies.
A lot of kicks to the face.
Mila Jovovich was very proud of herself. She learned kung fu for these movies. So all the kicks and stuff, that's all her.
That feels like a statement that can't be true. Like, I learned kung fu. Like, I learned
ever
opera.
See The Matrix?
You know what I mean? It just feels like...
Well, somebody, you have to learn it at some point.
Right. I just feel like learning all the... Like, I learned cooking.
I mean, I'm sure, like, some guy came in for an afternoon and said, like, here's how you do a roundhouse. Here's how you do this. Because she's not mixing it up that much. She's doing...
No.
It's a lot of the same kicks. So, yeah, she's got her... She knows what she does. She's going to do it well. Mm-hmm. She does that really fun, like back kick,
that's fine,
to the ones on thing.
I don't quite know how that works, but also she runs down the side of a building,
right?
She does, down the side of a goddamn building.
Wow. The city hall, I think that wasn't that city hall?
Not just any building.
Yeah.
Not just
I've heard of running for city hall, but running down city hall. So what do we want to give this for footwork?
Footwork, this is another high one. This is it's no Chicago.
No Chicago. But it is Raccoon City.
This ain't equally corrupt. Chicago. It's equally corrupt.
We'll bring that up when we get to musical potential.
It's just shy of Chicago though for me. So I'm going to give this a 96.
96.
I was also about to give it a 96. So I will give it a 96.
96. I'll give it a 90 because I think, yes, there's a lot of kicking, but I don't know if, like, I wouldn't say, like, oh, this action choreography is so good. You know, it's not like a...
It doesn't feel distinctive.
Yeah, it's not like a Jackie Chan movie. We're like, oh, this fighting is, like, really fun and, like, there's a lot of style. It's just, like, a lot of kicks and a lot of neck breaks.
Does the Herman Munster boots on Nemesis factor into footwork at all?
It sure should.
Just if you want to reconsider your score just a little bit.
Oh, I don't, but it does.
Okay.
Well, hey, it's still got the highest we've had of the last four movies, given a 94. And finally, the last of the canon categories, Ben, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Resident Evil Apocalypse to a gay person?
Very, very likely. I feel like if you're inclined to an action-y horror movie, maybe you don't want too much horror. I don't know what it is. Like, it's, I'll recommend it to anybody. It's a good time.
Or maybe you saw Atomic Blonde and wish there was more zombies.
Exactly. You want Atomic Blonde with more zombies. Yeah. You want to see some ladies kick some ass. I've got 88 minutes that are going to hit you right, scratch you right where you're itching.
Goes down in real easy.
Easy
that's
breezy.
A line gay men love to hear.
You're in and out real easy.
Something that's going to scratch you where you're itching.
That's right. There's the epilogue is 20 minutes. You're really only in this movie for a solid 70 minutes, guys.
I did watch it through Stars and there were commercials, which oddly I appreciated because they let me do my some IMDb research while that was happening.
Right, exactly. I was a lot of going reviewing categories.
I was like, oh, I don't mind this so much.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, for this one, I'm going to say there's nothing particularly gay. Like, oh, if you're gay, you have to see this for this reason. Mm-hmm. But just based on the fact that I will recommend it because I love Resident Evil, I'm still going to give it fairly high score at 77.
77.
Yeah, I agree. It is fun, but there's nothing about it that I feel like gay people need to know this movie. And I also feel like there are other, it does a lot of what it's doing very well, but I feel like there's other movies that does it that do it better. So I'll give it a 55.
I think though the Mia, the Alice and Jill Valentine are pretty fun. So I'll give it a 67. Right. Give it an average of 66.33. All right, now we are into the wheel category.
So these categories are all categories that previous guests have brought and we put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're gonna spin it three times and whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. Then one of the hosts will pick a category. This week, it's my turn. And then after that, you will come up with a category, which we will add to the wheel, and we will then use to judge subsequent.
This week, it's my turn, John.
Oh, is it?
I thought it was. You did anthropomorphism when we did Emperor's New Groove.
That's right.
Oh, how dare you try to take this from that out.
I'm so sorry.
Leave it in.
Nope, taking it out. Okay.
Well, John hates making mistakes. Makes him seem vulnerable. He doesn't like
it. Okay, here we go. Dom sub power plays.
Oh.
Well,
between Alice and Nemesis,
I was gonna say, I mean, he's even dressed for the occasion for a little Dom sub play that
from the Hellraiser collection from the Cenobite line at JCPenney.
So. I recently watched the first Hellraiser for the first time and I was like, oh, Nemesis is just literally a direct ripoff of one of those Cenobites. Looks, I mean, identical. It's crazy.
That's also pretty much what he looks like in the video game.
Yeah, they translate
except
him
he
is
more
game.
Of a tentacly arm, right?
Yeah, he can like shoot like a little tentacle out of his palm.
They said they didn't have the CGI to do it at the time.
You know, we're better off. It's fine.
Sure.
I mean, something to wait for the reboot. Nemesis, the reboots are just, I think, just like kind of directly from the game. They're not going to do their own thing. So I think we'll get Nemesis in the new movie. So something to look forward to.
For all our Nemesis heads out there.
For all the Nemesis heads. If you want to see some gross stuff, go on 4chan. There's some Nemesis tentacle.
Oh, I'm sure.
Business.
The internet loves tentacles.
I don't know what it is, but yeah, they're obsessed.
I guess there's a lot between like they're trying to like make Alice like their pawn, but she never will be.
That's true. There's a lot of that. And at the end, we get the new doctor who looks just like the German guy. And the first time I saw the movie, I was like, I thought they killed him, but it's
no, it's Jorah from Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Now that we have Game of Thrones, we're like, now we know who you are and you don't look exactly like that other blonde European guy that we just saw get killed. So there's a little that goes throughout the whole series because he's kind of the antagonist for a couple more movies. So there is a, you know, they kind of build into that a little bit, but there's nothing that's out and out about it. So I'll go ahead and give this thing a 36.
36.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that where it's really about trying to take over, like
Alice is pretty Dom the whole time.
Yeah.
She's like,
I'll go 35.
35. Yeah, I'll go 34. Following that pattern, giving an average of 35. All right, wheel category number two. John, have we convinced you to play? I think you could play Resident Evil 4 on the Switch.
All right. I'll definitely give it a try. Our next movie, it's a classic, Makeover Montage.
Makeover Montage.
Well, we do get a little bit of one. We get Jill when she walks
suiting
in,
up.
She's wearing her heels. She suits up a little bit. We kind of get the same thing with Alice where she goes into a supplies. What are those?
The
army surplus store. She goes into the surplus store.
Like a department store or something, right?
So I think it's a surplus store,
right,
which
there.
Is the crazy thing. Yeah. So yeah, she's, right? So we get a little bit of that. Her, you know,
it's very fast.
Very quickly grabbing, you know, guns, mesh t-shirts, right, as you do. Not very montage-y. There's some montaginess with the city being made over by zombies. And a nuclear bomb.
Those are montages.
No. Well, it's also hard when it's like over one night. Like a lot of it, there's not like, right. I don't think there's a lot of montages at all. But I think I think you're right with like the army surplus store. It's very blink and you miss it, which is a lot of this movie. Because it's so quickly
that's why it's so ripe for
edited.
A rewatch.
Right, you pick up on the nuances.
Exactly. I will say there is a montage, but again, it being at a very short one, I'll say 49.
49.
I'll give it a 25.
25. I gotta give it a 20. Giving an average
of,
I gotta listen to my heart. Taylor Jane told me to. Is that her song?
There's Tell It to My Heart.
Oh. Well, I'm telling my heart it's a 20.
All right. The next category is a love boat.
A love. There are no boats.
There are no boats in this movie. There's helicopters.
No.
There's cars. There's
no trains.
No trains.
Unfortunately, which is a Resident Evil staple, is a good train.
Yeah.
There's maybe some love bloats with all the corpses who are probably couples.
I mean,
okay.
But I cannot, I will not apply. I am not, I'm just making a pun.
You're just making content.
Let the record show.
Oh, okay. I mean, is a helicopter not a boat in the sky?
Sure.
Well, they often call boats helicopters of the sea.
Of the air? Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You're saying, yeah.
Okay.
I would say no. Well, no. And also no. Love.
That's fair.
Right. There's no one like we're on this journey together. Now we're in love.
No. Yeah. No one's really hitting it off. Like
I not think even Carlos like a tram. Alice. Yeah.
Wasn't she at one point like submerged in water?
She was in a tank when they're like they think they've wiped her memories.
Gotcha.
That's true. So there is water. So there's, thank you, John. There is something to cling to. Yeah. I mean, I can't give this more than like a 5. This is, there's no love boat going.
Yeah. I'll give it a 3.
Yeah. I'll give it a 2 for that tank. Mm-hmm. Given an average of 3.33. All right. And now it is host choice.
Yes. And Mark, it is your turn to pick a category.
Oh, is it, John?
Sure is.
Earlier you mentioned it was your turn and you
I'm sorry.
Messed up, but you edited that.
I have a feeling that I'm curious to see if you picked the same category I was going to pick.
Okay. Well, the last time I picked a category, I picked dramatic smoking. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing that again.
You're doing that again?
Yes. Because I think this has there's literally a moment where Mila Jovovich flicks a cigarette and it blows up a kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure.
In slow motion.
Does it get more dramatic than that?
I don't know. With like, there's death involved and explosions involved. That's pretty good. And also Jill Valentine has very moody cigarette work. And also Jared Harris's character has very moody cigarette work. But I think that one explosion was enough for me to.
There's also just a lot of like fog and smoke throughout the city.
Yes.
Adds
so
atmosphere.
I couldn't think. I looked through our whole list. I was like, I don't know what could score higher than dramatic smoking from that last. What were you going to pick?
I was going to say Shattered Glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like buildings, cars, helicopters, glasses being shattered window. All over the place.
Yeah, but it wasn't the slow motion of the cigarette flick, the hallway thing. That was like what stuck with me.
Sure, sure.
The shattered glass, quick sidebar, like that was like practical. The building, it wasn't like a full building they blew up, obviously. They're not.
What?
They didn't have the money for tentacles, but we're blowing up whole building.
I thought Milo and Otis had disturbing production history, but this is an outrage.
But yeah, practical glass breaking, but. I think we're still sitting pretty. I think this
but
is.
But we're doing dramatic smoking.
We're definitely doing.
We're doing dramatic smoking because I believe it was Mark's choice, and I think
it is.
Was,
yes.
Thank you. Okay. Let the record show.
Yeah, I think there's enough. I mean, no one smokes normally in this movie. There's no normal smoking, so the only smoking that happens is dramatic, and it results in the death of zombie dogs. So I'm giving this a 99.
And a ruined kitchen.
And a ruined kitchen. Those
and
kids
our schools
can't eat school
are suffering enough. Yeah.
I will give it a 91.
91. I'll give it a 95. Giving an average of 95. All right. Then the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to judge Resident Evil Apocalypse. And then we'll throw it on the wheel. And maybe at some point it'll become a bonus or a canon category.
Okay. Thinking long and hard. I think hopefully it's not already on the wheel. The one I want to go with is form over function. Anytime
I'm intrigued,
anytime the movie or a character does something that logically they don't need to do, but they want to, they choose the form over the function.
It looks funny.
Exactly. They're doing something. Okay. Yeah. That's not
for the drama.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like a drama
like a
queen.
Show off-y.
Yeah.
Like a drama queen. Yeah. They're showing off a little bit. Yeah.
Like Tony Hawk. On a half pipe, am I right? Am I right, Gaze?
Yes.
Her.
I like that. I think that's fun.
I think it's
great. Yeah. Form over function.
So what would be there good examples of that?
Examples of that I think is just like Jill Valentine's outfit.
Yes.
Form over function. Like she's looking hot in the zombie apocalypse, but if you're fighting zombies for a night, that's the last thing you want to wear. Same thing with Alice. She goes into an army surplus store.
If you're going to fight zombies, I might as well look hot. Like, this is going to be an awful, terrible night. I'm going to look good.
I'm going to look good. You could even say the Nemesis's, like, weapon was, like, it didn't need to be that, but it looked cool.
No.
great on an action figure.
Also, exactly. A lot of the movie's visual effects are of no point. They just happen. Like a lot of that fake slow-mo and the on-screen text and like all the weird news footage.
If you're running through zombies, you have guns. They seem to have an unending amount of bullets. Sure, it's not like the games where they're short on inventory.
We're all, that's the problem you're going to see, John. You're always, you feel like you don't have enough ammo. So you can't be shooting willy-nilly.
How am I going to get good at it if I can't shoot willy-nilly?
Well, that's
you can learn. Shoot Willy, but not Nilly. You got to choose one.
One or the other.
A real Sophie's choice.
But so they choose unique ways to kill the zombies. They're not just killing them all the same way, just headshot, headshot. They're breaking necks. They're doing strong kicks.
Which shouldn't kill a zombie, but I feel every movie has its own rules. It's fine.
They have their own rules. But I think form over function, this one, they do a lot of stuff they don't need to do. That if anything puts their lives in danger in this scenario.
Sure.
So I'm giving this one, I'm going to give it a 99 for
99.
I will give it a 94.
94. Oh yeah, I'll give it a 96. It's mostly form, not much function.
Exactly.
Right. Great. Giving it a 96.33. Fun new category. All right, now we are into the bonus category.
So these categories, as their name implies, are bonus. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's not going to work against the overall score. There's just extra points it can get. So we're scoring from 0 to 10.
Okay. All right. So this first one is musical potential. Could they make a musical out of Resident Evil Apocalypse?
They made one out of Spider-Man. They can make one out of anything.
It's true.
Right.
That was the biggest flop on Broadway, but
it was a musical.
That's true.
It did exist.
It doesn't say hit musical. It just says musical potential.
Right.
I do think the series itself might, because one good thing about this series that helps, a lot of the entries are set in like a single locale. Like the first one's a mansion. The second one is a police station.
Yeah, you could do a gorgeous set with that, the mansion from the first one. Imagine, you know, zombies, a chorus of zombies dancing through that first mansion.
Take the old Sunset Boulevard set and just use that.
Yeah, use that cobwebs or something.
Exactly. I feel like there is musical potential, and you can do almost like the West Side Story where we're doing the fight scenes, but we're dancing at each other instead of fighting.
Right. I mean, the Umbrella Corporation, hello, a dance number. We're making wheels with our umbrellas. We're spinning. We're having fun.
And the American red and white. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's umbrella spinning. A science all day lab. Long.
Yeah. You can have scientists. Lab.
Oh, the tap dance possibilities are endless.
Endless.
Science lab. Come on.
Lab coats. Imagine the possible you could do. That'll there where they catch the light when they spin, you know?
Exactly. And you got like a Frankenstein thing with Nemesis where he's screaming to the heavens before he transforms into the monster.
The T in T virus stands for tap.
Well, all right.
That's what we learned in the musical.
Opening next fall on Broadway.
There must have been, I'm sure there's been like zombies in musicals. Maybe there hasn't been, but
I'm sure.
But has there been like a musical based on a video game, like a Broadway one? I don't feel like. That's the next bridge to cross.
Yes, exactly. They'll perfect it one day. It'll happen. Doom the musical.
Yeah.
Come on, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I feel like Zelda could be a cute one.
I mean, they already got the music. It's so like orchestral. It's already ready for it. But for Resident Evil, I think there's musical. The overlap between people who want to see a musical and people who want to see Resident Evil, it's a small Venn diagram. I'll grant you that.
But they're out there. Most of them are on the Zoom chat. They're out there.
You can say hi to them right now if you wish.
Yeah, I'm one. I would count myself. I would love to see a Resident Evil musical.
Well, how would you want to have write it?
I like the book or the music.
The music.
See, John, I listen.
You know words.
Like a Phoebe Bridgers, someone moody.
Go on, like Evanescence or like.
No.
Evanescence does the music. Like, Paul W.S. Anderson does the book. Come on.
Evanescence has one song. Uh-huh. I don't trust them to write a whole. I don't trust them to write a whole, what? How many songs do you need in musical? 17, 18?
I mean, musicals are like they write two songs and then reprise, same stuff. Right, they recycle their own
just
bullshit.
Develop,
over and over.
Evolve, right, sure.
Yeah. Snooze, bore. We get it.
Right. But I don't know if Phoebe Bridges is doing a lot of toe tappers.
No.
So, well, what do we want to give this for musical potential?
I think there is potential. I'm giving it a 78.
Well, it's out of 0 to 10.
Well, then I'm giving it a 7.
7.
I don't think this would make a good musical. There's not like a big emotional journey. I think like musicals want like character emotional journeys. I don't think this movie has that so much. I think there'll be a lot of fun visuals, but I'm going to have to go two.
A two.
John, they wanted to get out of the city, and at the end they did. I don't know.
Is that that one, what's that musical where the 9/11 happens? They have to land in Iceland or something?
Oh, Come From Away?
Yeah, the same thing.
I haven't seen it yet. Sure.
How is this any different?
A major disaster happens. We're stuck somewhere. How do we get it? Get that guy to write the, okay. They should write the Resident Evil musical. I'll give it a five. Given an average of 4.67. All right, our next category, queer menace. Are there any queer menaces in this? I do think the Lickers are queer menaces.
I'll give that to the queer menace, yeah. And I even think you got nemesis in the leather daddy gear chasing you around. I think that's good for a little queer menace.
He is in a duster.
I mean, we're all afraid of a big leather duster, let's be honest.
And a little excited.
Sure. What's under there?
Thank you.
Like so long. Interesting. The mind reels.
Is it one of his many tentacles or what is it? You don't
Hello?
Know.
Hello. Do I care?
For me, I'm going to go queer menace. I'm going to give this one, I'm going to give it a six. I think there's some queer menace. Yeah.
All right.
To me, the big menace was Umbrella, that corporation, the Umbrella Corporation. But there's nothing about them feels queer to me.
What about the fact that they're called Umbrella?
What, how does that
Rihanna Mary Poppins hit song?
Oh, and Rihanna.
So and that's two. That's two.
Excellent points. Excellent points.
All right, then I'll give it a two for queer Venice.
Singing in the Rain.
All right, Mark.
You've made your point.
I'll give it a three. Giving it a 3.67. All right, our next category: character actress makes a big swing.
Yeah, we've got lots of zombies. I feel like you've got some zombies. I don't know. I guess they're technically not a character actors, but we got lots of extras that are trying to just want their moment on the screen.
The woman who plays Jill Valentine, Mrs. Priest, is very good.
Mm-hmm. I think she's a character actress. No debating that.
That was June Squibb, I believe. Right?
So it launched her latter career.
I thought the Jill Valentine character, she was pretty fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't think of her as a character actress.
Well, you just wait and see her blossom.
It's not a negative. She's more like the second lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Terry Morales is not making any huge choices.
Jenny Walters is Mrs. Priest.
Thank you.
Give some respect.
Oh, she's on The Expanse, Jenny Walters. I love The Expanse. Oh, now I remember who she is. Oh, she's the sister. Okay.
No, it's a different actress.
No, I'm looking at, what's her face? Who plays Jill Valentine.
Sienna Guillory.
She's different on The Expanse.
She's good. She comes back in a later movie and she is very different. She's blonde, spoiler alert. And she does a lot of period, like normally a lot of period pieces. She's a British actress. Gotcha. So this is
a lot of bustle.
I mean, this is out of the norm for her.
It's not really a big character actress movie. It's more actiony.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. Guns. Yeah. Exactly. And I think it's like the best you're gonna get for, you know, characterized, like maybe can throw something to a zombie. I'll give it a two.
Two. And there, we can't even say there's like, oh, this is revolutionary zombie work happening.
Yeah. Right.
No, they did have to go to a zombie school, all those zombie actors.
Right. Well, I would assume everybody has to go to a zombie school at some point.
You'd hope, but
yeah,
there's not always the budget. I'll give it a one.
A one. Yeah, I got to give it a one, unfortunately. Giving it a 1.33. All right, our next category, witches. How witchy is Resident Evil Apocalypse? Well, Alice makes a guy bleed from his eyes with psychic powers. That's pretty witchy.
I mean, yeah, a lady with powers. There that's almost the definition of a witch, really.
And Mrs. Priest.
Mrs. Priest.
Is there
she's
a
literally
Mr.
eating.
Priest?
She's, yeah, she's she's like the witch from Hansel and Gretel. She's literally like eating children.
Right.
It looked like a child's arm, I'm assuming. I don't know.
So he was feeding her, they found out.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Zombies always feel more like, oh, they're the cause, like a witch caused this. Like you could like that
there's
almost
witchiness to it.
There's a witchy over like, oh, did a witch have, whenever I see zombies, I'm thinking, did a witch have something to do with this?
Was this a curse? Mm-hmm. Has
what
this
is happening?
Cast?
Yeah. Or is this like some sort of chemical thing?
It's either
science,
it's either
or
witch
fantasy
or bioweaponry.
Yeah.
We don't, I mean, what is the Umbrella Corporation doing? We don't really know.
What
we
don't they
look
do?
In those labs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There could be witches in those labs cooking this up. It could be a giant cauldron in the back. We don't know.
Yep.
That they're filling up those little tubes.
Oh, and Alice is in like a, she is in like a glass cauldron of sorts.
I mean,
being
yes.
cooked.
Right, right.
This is a very large stretch.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, so what do you want to give this for witches?
I'm going to go 2 on this one as well.
2.
I'll go 2 on this one too.
You know what? I'll also go 2. Well, I'll go 3 for psychic powers.
All right.
All right, our next category, gay actors playing gay roles. This one might be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, this one hurts.
Gay roles.
This one hurts.
Mm-hmm.
There's okay. No gay roles.
This is bonus, so it's all right. We don't.
Yeah, fair. There's no gay roles.
so
what more irrelevant. Can you say? Let's go. Have to give it a 0.
Ben.
Yeah, I'll have to go 0 as well.
I mean,
as will I.
I play by the rules.
I respect that. All right. Our next category, you got a 0. Our next category, themes of mothers.
You never find out what happened to that little girl's mother, do we?
No. Probably dead.
No. Probably. Yeah, probably. And then we do kind of, she did get. Like,
I would hope she's dead. She's just indifferent.
Yeah.
She was out at the supermarket when all this happened. And they're like, man, who knows?
She was like, that girl's old enough.
You're on your own, kid.
She can figure it out. She's injecting herself clearly with all this stuff. She's a big girl. But she does get surrogate moms in Alice and Jill.
Yeah. So, and at the end, she's like part of the family, I guess. Like, she's got two moms and a dad. Yeah, right. Takes a village.
We learned that. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton taught us that.
She changed everything. I could see Hillary Clinton starting the zombie apocalypse. No offense to her, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, she's trying to do something good. And if it went haywire, you know, she's trying to create the new alt, Olay cream. Something happens. Right. She's trying to do good is the point. That's all.
Imagine if Hillary Clinton introduced a line of skincare. A rebrand.
She's writing a she's got a novel coming out. I mean, what's next?
A novel?
She wrote a novel.
Wow. Oh,
coming out in November.
Is it like
something.
A thriller?
I think so. Yeah, it's like a political thriller. Clef.
An erotic thriller? That could be fun.
Throw everyone a curveball.
I mean, not intentionally, but so what do you want to give this for themes of mothers?
Themes of mothers, I think we get there's no direct themes, but you know. Angela does get some surrogate moms, and later in the series, not that we can count it against it, but there's more themes of mothers as we go. But I'm still going to give this a 5. I think there's enough there.
A 5.
I think there's almost nothing there. but given the very end, I'll give it a 1.
A 1.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I also have to give it a 1. But it's not a 0.
Well, it's not a 0. Okay. It's not a 0.
Hey, we got a 2.33, which is 0.33 points higher than the Emperor's New Groove got.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nothing to sneeze at.
And that had actual mothers in it. Yeah.
So pretty good, Resident Evil. Be proud of yourself. All right. Next one. Drinks thrown in faces. Well, I think like flicking that cigarette that blows up the dogs.
Has the energy. Definitely.
Yeah.
It's got some drink thrown energy. Yeah. I don't think anyone drinks a thing during this evening, but.
I mean, shooting someone in the head is the ultimate drink thrown in a face, I feel like.
I think that's a stretch.
It's telling someone it's the ultimate kiss off.
I mean, if you count the helicopter gets thrown in Nemesis's face, that's
rude. That's what Nemesis would say. Yes. I guess I've overstepped my bounds.
Because I didn't read the room. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll revert yet again to the tank scene. She doesn't get a drink thrown in her face. She gets thrown in a drink.
A face thrown in a drink.
She turns it on its head. That's what she's always one step ahead.
That's how you know you're in a horror movie. Yeah, when things are like inverted.
Yeah, this is a 1, and even that's kind of rounding up. So
yeah, I'll also go 1 for this one.
I'm gonna give it a 3 for shooting people in the head. I feel like that's the ultimate drink in the face.
Okay.
All right, finally, the last of the bonus categories, quips. How quippy is this movie?
Oh, finally, one that's not going to kill me. Okay. I do think this movie has a fair amount of quips.
It does.
Mike Epps really brings it.
Mike Epps talks almost exclusively in quips. And you got the redheaded Russian guy. He's got a couple of good quips when he shoots
like
the dog.
All of a sudden, Russian? When he started speaking, I was like, has he been Russian this whole time?
That's what I was like, is this a new character? I don't remember.
Yeah. He's been Russian the whole time, guys. This is amazing.
What a twist.
When he shoots the dog and says stay, but stay. He still somehow manages to put a Russian accent on stay. And then the dog jumps on him and he's like, I'll handle this bitch.
Mm-hmm. Right. Lovely. Sure. This is a lady dog, sure. So it's not insulting.
So it's not insulting. It was 2004. It was 2004.
When the, what's his face, Major Kane says, killing me won't make this right. And then Al says, no, but it's a start. All right.
Beautiful.
All right.
My favorite was Mike Epps said, motherfucker, please. My shit is custom when they try to give him
I think that, yes. Yeah, that, I think that might favorite. Be my, that might be the best one. I think you're right about that.
Yeah. So yeah, some quips.
Yeah, it's got some quips. I mean, it's laden throughout. So I'm going to give this one, I think I'm going to go a 7 on this one.
A 7.
I'll give it a 5.
A 5. Yeah, I'll give it a 5. Because there are quips, but they're not like, right. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, a lot of them, there's some clunkers. There are some clunkers. Sure. Mike Epps makes a lot of big swings and yeah. he whiffs quite a few.
Couple you know, of them. God bless him. All right. Finally, we're not finally, second to finally, penultimately, we are into the iconic categories.
These categories are larger, more umbrella categories. So we're going back from 0 to 100.
All right. The first one is homoeroticism. How homoerotic is Resident Evil Apocalypse?
Not very.
No.
Is the answer?
Mm-hmm. Unless all the men eating other men.
Yeah, but it's not erotic.
Unless you have like a vor fetish, I guess.
I suppose.
Yeah, it would take you. Yeah, it would take something extreme to be able to.
Yeah,
argue if there's if there was even one more German accent in this, I would maybe, be yeah. I'd feel more comfortable giving it a higher score, but I just don't think there is. Yeah, there's not a ton of, again, these movies are just not even really sexual. It's no, there's just no. Nothing that's not what they're here for.
No.
Right.
I'll say a 2. I don't know.
A 2.
It's very low, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I think based on the story you told us earlier about them watching Dog Day Afternoon beside themselves, yes. up, I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
A 7. Yes. I'll give it a 5, giving an average of 4.67, which is 6 points lower than the Chipmunk Adventure. In homoeroticism
is
okay.
No, welcome, I mean, to, five cold, welcome to 5 Cold Screams, everybody. All right, our next
that
one
did have Dave, so that's fair. Is that his name, Dave? The guy that's
true. Yes.
Okay.
Our next one, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Resident Evil Apocalypse and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Yes, and not only can I follow a drag queen on Instagram who has dressed as Alice from Resident Evil.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
So I have empiric proof. I think there are looks in this movie. Someone, a drag queen dressed up like a Jill Valentine.
Yes,
you know who that is.
Especially since Alice, that look is like straight. Jill Valentine is like straight from the video game. That look.
It is 100%. Yeah, exactly. They did not change a thing. So yeah, that's per. I think even Nemesis, you could do even a little play on Nemesis.
Yeah, Nemesis definitely.
Yeah, I think there is plenty of room for
spitter zombies or lickers.
That's exactly. You want to get drag queen with the licker tongue?
You could
get
do that. You could make that drag.
Of course, yeah. This is ripe for a drag queen.
I also thought Jared Harris's really tiny eyeglasses.
Yeah, those to me, I was like, it's like contact lenses and just glasses things around them. That's
I was fascinated.
I have lenses and frames. The best of both worlds.
The little things that were keeping them up were like going the wrong way. I was obsessed with those glasses. Like, what even is the point?
Like, what do you see through those? Just frame, I would think.
He's just looking at that little computer that's hooked to his chair. He's like, I don't need to see anything. No peripheral vision needed. That's all I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But yeah, drag queen inspiration, 98. This is tops. I've seen drag queens dressed as Alice.
There you go.
I can't do better than that.
I get that. I do feel like, and I think everything we've said is true and it works, but it's not something where it's like, and another look and another, it's not, you know, like a My Fair Lady or some other fantastical thing. Where like every time you turn around, you know, Jovovich is in like a totally new look. So it's, everyone just sort of has like their one look, which I get it. It, you know, dramatically that makes sense. So I'm going to ding it. I'm going to go 77.
77.
Still respectable. Still respectable.
I'll give it a 82. Given an average of 85.67. Finally, we are into the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Resident Evil Apocalypse?
Oh, I think there's some camp work being done in this movie. I think they're going over the top. That you have, again, like that final fight between Alice and Nemesis, I think is just like one of the campier fight scenes. It's just so, I just think it's so, like, this giant hulking monster with the real tiny hands. He puts down his guns to fight her. It just is very silly. It's like, and what even is the point of the fight? Right. Like, the German guy's trying to prove that which one is the better fighting machine, but one is like, well, one of them won't listen to what you're doing, so what good does that do you, even if she wins the fight? And the other one is a giant hulking monster that does everything you tell it to. I don't know why you're even making them fight. It seems like the decision has been made.
I thought it was just hilarious that it was called Raccoon City. Like every time they call it Raccoon City.
I mean, that is, I
was
yes.
like, that was, no one thought of a better name for a city.
That's from the game, John. Tell people, tell the geniuses at Capcom.
It just made me laugh in a way that I thought is was
like
so that silly. Thing,
it's like, yeah, having been like Raccoon City in these games since like 1996 when they first came out, it's like, oh yeah, that is very ridiculous.
But it is like, it's like part of the video gaminess of it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you accept it in a video game and like, well, this has been a successful video game franchise. Right. We're going to make movies. We're stuck with this. We can't not call it Raccoon City.
What is the point of changing the name? From
So what do you want to give it for camp factor?
I'm going to go ahead and give this thing a 79.
79.
I actually don't think it's a very campy movie, but I'll give it a 61.
61. Okay. All right, I got a quick list of campy things. Here we go. A movie based on a video game. Being wrong about thinking you've survived the horror. Secret underground facilities. The camera zooming into a speaker for no good reasons. Adding whoosh sound effects just because the camera moves. Telling someone to just get over their missing child. Being able to pick out anything from an abandoned clothing store and going with bootcut jeans. Stained glass windows. A guy trying to keep a giant church to himself using a tiny crucifix to keep a door shut. Being unaware that a giant tongue is wrapped around your throat until it's too late. A giant zombie monster who also has a bazooka and a chain gun. Nemesis's creators really phoned in his face. Hitting a zombie dog with a frying pan in midair is pretty goofy. Reconnecting with your lover who doesn't remember who they are makes this the Notebook, the Resident Evil franchise. Fighting a bunch of people while keeping your bath towel around you. And finally, interrupting the end credits with an ad for the Umbrella Corporation. I'll give it a 70. Giving an average of 70.
Look at that.
Wow. Campier than the Chipmunk Adventure, but not as campy as The Emperor's New Groove. All right, finally.
I'll allow it.
We are into the crown jewel.
So these we don't vote on or we don't rate. We either say it gets it or it doesn't.
Okay.
All right, so the first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Resident Evil Apocalypse have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
As if you have to ask. Yeah, I think we're in agreement on this one. I think that's a pretty firm no.
Yeah, fine. All right, it doesn't get it. I would agree with that. And finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This movie does not even have a boat in it. So no, this is not the movie Boat Trip, and it will not lose 50% of its points.
But it is kind of a trip, man. Yeah. Zombies. All right, that's it. We're done.
So, Ben, now that we've been through it all, do you still think that you have beat, what was it?
Hellraiser?
Hellraiser 2,
yes.
I'm a little less confident. I'm not going to lie to you. I think it's not going to be terrible, but I don't know if I'm cracking the top five.
All right. Okay. I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,277.33 points, Resident Evil Apocalypse has scored 1,557.33, giving it a percentage of 68.38, making it the 44th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Cruising, but gayer than Hackers.
Okay.
That feels right.
That feels right.
And it's definitely not. Hellraiser is, it's very close to Hellraiser is a 70.84. So this is only like 2 percentage points difference. Very close. It's in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. But it's gayer than Ginger Snaps, which was our next like true horror movie, which has a 64.92.
So it's like the sixth gayest horror movie on our list.
It's the sixth gayest horror movie. That's pretty good.
Well, that's fantastic.
There you go.
Well, Ben, this has been such a treat. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. This was a true, true delight.
It was I was like, oh, this is a fun movie to kick off Five Cold Screams. I do think the Mila of it all.
Sure.
It's pretty fun. The JoJo. Ben, is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
I just started reading Danny Trejo's memoir, Trejo. So everybody should pick that up. It's a great book. He's an amazing person.
Two books at the same time?
How do you keep them? How do you juggle them?
I learned this like someone, I heard this on a radio show literally like a decade ago, and they're like, oh yeah, I read multiple books. Like, you watch two TV shows at once. And I was like, oh, that somehow made a click for me. I can read two books. And
interesting.
At the same time, it's like, it's changed my life. I'm like, oh yeah.
I do have the brain space for this.
I can. Who knew?
Yeah, I hope Danny, it would also, like, if they merge, like, yeah, why isn't Danny Trejo in a Resident Evil movie?
He'd
fit right
perfect.
In.
Perfect. We gotta get him in. That the reboot's coming. Come on. For Trejo. There's room for Trejo.
There's always room for Trejo. You thought there was room for Jell-O?
Room for Trejo. Get Trejo in here.
Well, thanks so much, Ben. A true delight. So nice to chat with you. Great fun. And we'll be right back.
We're back.
Fun. That was a fun one to talk about.
That was definitely a fun one to talk about.
It scratched a lot of my itches.
And you had been itchy for a while. Play Resident Evil 4, you were saying?
That one's fun. Or I don't think Resident Evil 2, the remastered one, is on the Switch. But I would play 4. You might hate it.
I might. Who knows? But it's okay. It's a video game.
It's scary. It's
okay. All right.
It's fun, though. It's like my favorite video game of all time.
Okay. So no
and
pressure.
I think you'll see, like, there's a lot of, like, cheese and camp, too. It's, like, silly at times. Perfect. But the action is really fun. I don't know. It's pleasing.
Oh, wonderful.
And also, I'm so happy. Five Cold Screams might be my favorite series we do.
I think it's back, baby.
Yeah, it's back. It makes me happy. I love talking about horror.
Horror movies, right. Well, speaking of things that make you happy, we got an email from one of our listeners.
Okay,
this is from Brian. And the email is titled, Mike Pence the Bellwether? ? And Brian writes, hello, my name is Brian. I'm a blue collar queer in Minneapolis and a listener of the show the very beginning. It's been amazing to watch the rating system evolve from an unwieldy Leviathan easily foiled by felt to what could now be almost a tool for a cultural anthropology scholar.
My question is,
what category do you think is the closest predictor of a movie's overall score? My guess would be the Mike Pence anxiety scale. Anyway, love y'all, and I'm dying for the day that Ichi the Killer and Das Boot can get the Queen's treatment. From Brian.
I love Ichi the Killer and Das Boot.
Well, there you go.
Those are two very different movies. Ichi the Killer is fucked up, John.
Okay, I hope someone brings it in.
And Das Boot makes you sympathize with the German Navy in World War II.
Oh, wow.
That's fucked up in its own way, but
that's
it's
true.
Good. I don't know if Mike Pence is the best bellwether, because I think Mike Pence wouldn't have a problem with Wizard of Oz.
Right. I think Camp Factor is probably one.
Camp Factor, or even just like homoeroticism. I mean,
gay actors playing gay roles. Actual gay characters, maybe.
Actual gay characters is a good one. Yeah, probably Camp Factor is like the most.
Yeah, if you look at like our top five, it's like John Waters, Bride of Frankenstein,
Rocky Horror, Madonna. Although that one didn't do too crazy on camp, I don't think, did it? What did let me look at what Madonna got in Camp Factor. I don't remember. I'm getting to it. Quit rushing me. Oh, 81. So like it didn't like explode, but decent showing. Yeah. But like Batman and Robin got a 90 in Camp Factor, but it did not do as well. So I just goes to show, I think Camp Factor is like the best, like, oh, this will do well.
Right.
So I think Camp Factor is probably the best bellwether. I love a bellwether. It's like a nice canary in a coal mine.
Exactly. It's just exactly what it is. Well, thank you, Brian. We love hearing from you guys. If you have any thoughts or questions for us, we'll hear from you. You can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, T-W-O, old queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie ranking.
Yes, and also we have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Tool Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And a percentage of all the profits go to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out. And also we have a Patreon, and we are right now, if you want more horror in your life, we're right now going through all the Child's Play / Chucky films to find out which one is the gayest of that. So go over to Patreon and look for Tool Queens, the retirement plan. You can get that, become part of that.
And then we have 4 more weeks of horror movies coming. So buckle up. Exactly. Do we know what next week's is? No, that's what makes it scary.
Ooh.
So still, please wear a mask and not a witch pumpkin head one this time. Stay safe, everybody. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.